The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 17, text number 5, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on April 15th, 2008, in Skopje, Macedonia.
So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 17. Maharaj Prithu becomes angry at the earth. Text number 5. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sanat Kumarad Bhagavato,
Sanat Kumarad Bhagavato,
Brahman Brahmavid Uttamat,
Brahman Brahmavid Uttamat,
Vadbhagyanam Savigyanam,
Vadbhagyanam Savigyanam,
Rajarshi Kangatingata. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The great saintly king, Maharaj Prithu, received knowledge from Sanat Kumara, who was the greatest Vedic scholar. After receiving knowledge to be applied practically in his life, how did the saintly king attain his desired destination? There are four Vaishnava sampradayas, systems of disciplic succession. One sampradaya comes from Lord Brahma. One comes from the goddess of fortune. One from the Kumaras, headed by Sanat Kumara. And one from Lord Shiva. These four systems of disciplic succession are still going on. As King Prithu has illustrated, one who is serious about receiving transcendental Vedic knowledge must accept a guru or spiritual master in one of these four disciplic successions. It is said that unless one accepts a mantra from one of these sampradayas, the so-called mantra will not act in Kali Yuga. Many sampradayas have sprung up without authority, and they are misleading the people by giving unauthorized mantras. The rascals of these so-called sampradayas do not observe the Vedic rules and regulations. Although they are addicted to all kinds of sinful activities, they still offer the people mantras and thus mislead them. Intelligent persons, however, know that such mantras will never be successful, and as such they never patronize such upstart spiritual groups. People should be very careful of these nonsensical sampradayas. To get some facility for sense gratification, unfortunate people in this age receive mantras from these so-called sampradayas. Prithu Maharaj, however, showed by his example that one should receive knowledge from a bona fide sampradaya. Therefore, Maharaj Prithu accepted Sanat Kumara as his spiritual master.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So, one has to be intelligent. One should not be a fool. If one is a fool, one pays the price. In other words, fools suffer. The cause of misery is ignorance, actually. It's not difficult to be self-realized if you just do things right. It's actually not even difficult to do things right. It's just a matter of knowing what the right thing is and doing it. It's just like if you get a job at a company. You know what you're doing. It's not difficult. You just, you know exactly what you're supposed to do and you do it. And the mental energy, the vocal energy, the physical energy is exerted to do exactly what you're supposed to do, and therefore you're appreciated by the company, you get raises, you get promoted, etc. But if you don't know what you're doing, you may even try harder, you see, and end up doing the wrong thing, end up getting fired from the company. So it's not so much the effort and the energy that you put into it, it is a matter of knowing what you should do and doing it properly. It's actually more difficult to do it in the wrong way than do it in the right way. So it's not difficult to be Krishna conscious. It's not difficult to become a Paramahamsa, a self-realized soul. It's not difficult. It simply requires that you do things properly. That's all. The only difficulty is we're in a society where everybody is doing it wrong. Everyone is doing it wrong. Completely wrong. They're like chickens with their heads cut off. They don't know what they're doing. They're running around in complete chaos and confusion, putting their energy into the wrong things, you see. Therefore, it's very important that the social body have a head. The present moment, the social body is headless, because there are no Brahmins to guide the society. Vedic culture means there must be Brahmins, qualified Brahmins. And then the leaders, the administrative leaders, such as here we see the example of Maharaj Prithu, they then take their guidance from the enlightened Brahmins. And then the society goes on perfectly. Under the reign of Maharaj Prithu, everything was so nicely balanced in the earth, you see. There was no excessive heat, there was no excessive cold, there was no excessive too much water, nor there was drought. Everything was perfectly balanced. Even the ocean yielded so many valuable jewels, you see. Everything. The gold yielded, the earth yielded gold, the ocean yielded so many valuable jewels. Everything was auspicious. Because the king, he took guidance from enlightened Brahmana, Vaishnava Brahmana, Sanat Kumara. So, The first thing is there must be a class of enlightened Brahmins on this planet. And then if that is there, he said, then gradually, the people will realize that these Vaishnavas, these Vaishnava Brahmins, they actually understand reality as it is. They hold the key to happiness for each and every man, woman, and child on the face of this planet. That day will come and people will realize. So our duty in ISKCON is we have to create that class of qualified Brahmins. That's our duty. You see. Now we are struggling. Since Prabhupada's departure, we're struggling in many ways to be brahminical. Mostly, our devotees now, previously we were all living in ashrams, we were working, we were doing full-time preaching work, getting everyone who's going to Mangalarti, Tulsi worship, full-on brahminical program, everyone. But now, we see that in our society, that mostly our devotees are living outside of temples. And if you go to many temples, the only person there in Mangalarti is the Bajari. You see? This is not brahminical life. If we are actually going to do our duty, Prabhupada actually, as I mentioned the other day, Prabhupada explains in his purport that Vaishnava culture, Vedic culture means rising by 4 o'clock in the morning. Mangalarti. That is actual Vedic culture. He says, otherwise it is mlecha. So in many ways ISKCON has become mlecha-ized since Prabhupada's departure. So we have to bring it back now. Devotees have to rise early and become actual Brahmins. And develop the quality of Brahman. See, by rising, Brahman means rising early in the morning. That is Brahman. Sleeping late, that is Shudra. One cannot be a Brahman and sleep in. Not possible. No, Brahman means rising early in the morning, observing Mangal Arti either at the temple or in one's home, and then studying nicely the Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting very nicely the japa, you see. And then one can engage in one's daily activities. In India, in high class families, this is still going on. They have deities in the home. And there was one, Prabhupada gave the example of one home, the lady of the house. If somebody missed the arti, they would be fined. They would have to pay a fine if they missed the arti. Any family member missed an arti, they had to pay fine for missing the arti. And one time in Los Angeles, Prabhupada said, we should do that in ISKCON. If someone doesn't come to Mangalarti, they must pay fine. He says they must fast as penance for having missed Mangalarti. And if they want to, and he said, and if they can, or they can distribute a Krishna book. Then they can take prasadam if they distribute a Krishna book. I mentioned one time my leader enforced that rule on me. I was guarding the bus at night on the street. I was sleeping in the bus to guard it from thieves. And I didn't have an alarm clock and the devotees forgot to wake me up for Mangalarti. So I was, I had to fast because I missed Mangalarti. Until I sold a Krishna book, and then I took my breakfast. So, it's really an important thing. I'm traveling all over the world, and I'm seeing many, many temples where it's just the Bajari. It's actually shocking for me to see them. Temples where there's a whole community living right there on the property. There's maybe 30, 40, 50 devotees living there, but they're all sleeping. They're living on the temple property, and they're sleeping in. It's not that they're living 50 kilometers away, and it's, you know, then that's understandable. They should do it at home, but for the temple to be empty, if everyone's living 50 kilometers away, that's understandable. When they're living right there 50 meters away from the temple room, you see, and they're not there, then we can see the mlecha tendency has infiltrated our society very strongly. So, not something to be discouraged about, it's a great opportunity for preaching. You see. To let us become ideal examples of what it means to be a Brahmin, twice born. Let us become ideal examples. And then we can spread this revival of the morning program, you see, either at the temple or in the devotees' homes. We can spread this revival of the morning program all over and create a revolution within ISKCON, you see. Revolutionize the society by our own examples of rising early, every day, without fail. Every day, rising early. Many people write me, they say, Gurudev, how can I become happy? How can I, you know, but the secret is getting up early in the morning. When Papa introduced Mangalarti, you know what he said? He said, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. It's a saying of an American philosopher named Benjamin Franklin. But Prabhupada liked very much his saying, and he quoted it when he introduced Mangalarti to our society. Early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Now who? Would everybody like to be wealthy? Of course. Everybody would like to have some money, isn't it? Everyone, every householder, of course, a brahmachari, he thinks of making the temple wealthy, making the movement wealthy. So everyone is after wealth. Whether they're brahmachari, sannyasi, they want to make the temple wealthy, or the householder, he wants to be wealthy also so he can take care of nice care of his wife and children and give nice contributions to the society. So everyone would like wealth. So you get health, you get wealth, and you become a wise man. And if you're wise, that means you become blissful also. Because wisdom is the prerequisite for becoming ecstatic is you have to become a wise man. A fool cannot become ecstatic. So he may think he's happy. It's called fool's paradise. But actually it's just a dream. To become actually happy, you have to become a wise man. You have to become a learned wise man. And then you become actually happy. So we have no problem. We can rise early in the morning. We offer an arti, sing Gravastakam prayers. We can chant japa nicely and read Bhagavatam. And then after that's done, then you do your normal, you plug into your occupational duty, you see, as a student, as a preacher, as a, you know, a pujari, a cook. Of course, pujaris start their service early in the morning. But then we can do our occupational duties. But if all we do is our occupational duties and we neglect the sadhana, we won't be happy. Some people become so... I've seen the tendency now, the sadhana is so much put on the back burner that now the clickers have become a popular thing in this country. Because devotees are so much into just doing karmic thing that even the time to sit and chant on their beads, they don't even have that anymore. And so they take a clicker, they get in the car, and they go click, click, while they're driving along. Click, 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 click. You see. So, one may argue, but there's really no time. I work 10 hours a day, and then I'm this, and I really don't have any time for rising early and chanting, etc., etc., etc. That argument can be given, that Sankarshan Prabhu, what you're saying is not practical. It's very nice flowery words, but it's not really practical. Because the reality is I have this schedule and I have to work like this, some of the hours, it's only 24 hours in the day after all, so how could I possibly, you know, do these things? Rise early and offer Mangalarti, chant on my beads peacefully. How is it possible? I don't have time. That argument can be given. But if one makes the endeavor to actually do the standard items of sadhana that Prabhupada has given, you know what? Guess who's in control of the universe? Is Mayadevi in control? No. Even though she's super powerful, she's not all powerful. She's subordinate to Krishna. So guess what? Krishna can arrange everything perfectly. I had spent 14 years as a brahmachari and I was really attached, you know, going to Mangalarti every day. And then I got married. And then the authority said, now you have to make it, you got to earn your own keep. You know, we're not going to maintain you. Now you're a house order. You have to get a job. Get your own apartment, pay the rent, everything. So you're on your own now. You should, actually, Prabhupada said, a house order should not be dependent on the temple. Nor should he be independent of the temple. You see, he should not depend financially on the temple, nor should he act independently. He should still be working under the temple authority, but at the same time, he should not be dependent on the support of the temple. In other words, he's the one who supports the temple. He works under the temple and at the same time supports the temple. That's the idea. So anyway, now I had to get a job, so I took some training in computer programming. I got a job in the computer industry. And they said, okay, here's your hours. Come to work, I think it was, so you start work at 11 o'clock at night and you get off at 8 in the morning. I thought, oh my God, where's my Mangalarti now? What am I going to do? Krishna, Krishna. You see? So,
11 at night?
Wait.
Yes.
Huh?
11 at night?
Yes.
Yeah, 11 at night, till 8 in the morning. So where's my Mangalarti? But then, the first few days I went during the day to get my training before I actually started the night shift. And then my supervisor, Mr. Wes Hillpot, he told me, you know, nobody really wants to work the night shift, so since we're putting you on the night shift, you can take extra time on your lunch break, it's okay. So I was thinking, lunch break. They give me extra time on my lunch break. That's great. And you can take them whatever you want. So I took my lunch break I started my lunch break at 4 a.m. And it gave me enough time to drive to the apartment to pick up Manaji and get to the temple for Mangalarti. So I think it took like an hour and 15 minutes for lunch. They gave me extra time. So usually a half an hour, see. But at night it's okay, you know. Take extra time for lunch if you need it. They told me, I could. So I did it every day. I went to Mangalarti the whole time. I would head out my lunch break at 4 a.m., go pick up Mataji, go to the temple, leave her at the temple during the whole morning program. And then I would get off work at 8 o'clock, just at the tail end of the Bhagavatam class. I would come in after finishing my, you know, all night shift. So I would catch the end of the Bhagavatam, and I would do Mangalarti every day. So Krishna arranged that for me, you see, because I had a strong desire, you see. So the point is that if one has a desire to have good quality japa, chanting on the beads, sitting nicely in the early morning, if one has a desire to, you know, to be able to offer the arti, sing gravastikam prayers and offer arti every day to a photograph or to deities, we don't recommend Radha Krishna because that requires very strict standards. If one has to have deities, and one could have going to tie deities because they're very lenient and merciful. So, if one has that strong desire, then Krishna will facilitate it. I've seen. He will facilitate. He controls everything. All the money, all the power, it's all in Krishna's hands. Everything's under his control. Completely, 100%. He controls everything. So if you get on the good side of Krishna, he can give you all kinds of perks to help you, special favors, you see, to help you, to make your life easy, to make your sadhana easily accomplished without over-endeavor. Simply a matter of desiring pure bhakti, you understand? You understand what I'm saying? You simply have to have the strong desire for pure bhakti, and then Krishna will facilitate everything. As man proposes, God disposes. You see? Prabhupada says, God helps those who help themselves. So we have to remember in this connection, the little sparrow. You know the little sparrow? You know the story of the little sparrow? From Bhagavad Gita? Yeah. You know that story?
Yes.
Everyone knows that little sparrow. You see, she was so determined, impossibly determined, to get her eggs back. So that should be our determination, to have good quality sadhana. Even if it seems impossible due to our work schedule, our family commitments, etc., etc., it may seem impossible to have good sadhana. But we simply have to remember the example of that little bird. You see? The sparrows, it's an insignificant bird, not very, not attractive. She doesn't have nice colored feathers. It's a very insignificant, plain, ordinary bird, you see, a sparrow. People are not interested in a sparrow bird. They're not considered very, you know, some people collect birds, but they're not that running after sparrows, you know. Sparrow is just an insignificant, ugly bird, you see. But this sparrow bird was so determined to get her eggs back that Garuda personally came and arranged, facilitated, get her eggs back. Yeah. Garuda personally came. So do you think that Krishna cannot arrange for your sadhana? Made a nice facility for you to have a nice morning program. You think Krishna cannot do that? Krishna can easily do that. One simply has to be very, very determined to have good sadhana. That's all. So this revolution we have to make within our ISKCON. No? Because how many, I took a show of hands the other day in Sofia, how many of you are having Mangal Arati every day? Practically no one in the temple. Practically no one has Mangal Arati. And so many initiated devotees, practically no one has Mangal Arati alone. And in the temple, just three or four people coming, they were only there because I was there. Because their Guru Maharaj has come, they were there. The temple. Otherwise, there would just be the Bajari only. So we really, really have to do this in ISKCON. We have to revolutionize ourselves. We want to lead the world out of chaos. We have to be ideal Brahmins. That's the point. You see, Sanat Kumara, he's a perfect ideal Brahmin Vaishnava. Therefore, the king is willing to become a disciple. So are we so pure in our Vaishnava culture that the Prime Minister of Macedonia would like to become our disciple? You see, we have to have that kind of quality and character that the leaders of the world will bow down at our feet and become disciples. That's the caliber of purity and character and integrity that we have to develop if we want to do our mission to actually lead the world out of chaos. So is it doable or is it impossible? What is your opinion? If we can actually have this revolution within ISKCON, morning program revolution. Is it impossible? Just some a nice idea but not at all practical? Is it something that can be done or not? Well, what you really have to ask is, can I do it or not? That's the real bottom line. If you can do it, and you can manifest that example, then someone else will see that you're doing it and they can understand that they can do it too. You see? And someone else will see that they're doing it and they think, well, I can do it too in this way. We shouldn't ask, is it possible for the society or not? That's not the question. The question is it possible for me to do it or not? To rise early by 4 a.m. and offer Mangal Arati, finger bhastik and prayer. If it's possible for me to do that. That's what we have to see. If it's possible for me to do it, then it can, the society can do it. If I can't do it, forget it. If I can't do it, then how the society can do it? Yeah.
Well, if one starts doing, then others will think that that person is fanatic.
Yes. I think they'll laugh at him. Oh, he's so foolish, you know.
He's a fanatic.
You see, some kind of fanatic. He must have, that fanatic Sankarshan Das Adhikari, he fanaticized this Prabhu. And now the fanaticism is spreading, but not me. I'm not going to be a fanatic. I'm sleeping in, you see.
I have heard something like that.
Huh?
I have heard this.
That's right.
What did you hear?
Fanatics.
You heard that I'm a, they say that I'm a fanatic?
Not only you.
Huh?
Not only you. Those who...
follow. Those who are strict.
You've heard it said that it's fanaticism, yeah. See, I have correctly analyzed the disease that's infected the ISKCON body. I have correctly analyzed it. Prabhupada has blessed me with the vision to see the infection. And this is proof. The ISK, these were initiated devotees?
I think yes. I can't remember.
But ISKCON members were saying the rise, this rising early is fanaticism. Yeah. It proves my point. How infected our society has become. That someone who rises early on the order of Srila Prabhupada is called a fanatic.
And it's not practical.
It's not practical, yeah. Yeah, it proves my point, yeah.
Well, actually, I believe he speaks about me.
No, I
told him to make Mangalarati at home and change his runs after that, not to travel.
Wait a minute, I can't... Let me hear what he's saying.
I don't need it.
Let me hear what he's saying, but I couldn't hear it because when you're talking, I couldn't hear what he said. Let me hear what he said.
They're debating among themselves.
Let me hear one side of the debate, and then I can hear the other side. I don't mind the debate, but let me hear your side, then I'll hear your side. Go ahead.
I said that I think he's speaking about me, because I told him that he better does Mangalarti at home and then chant his rounds at home before going to work, rather than going to the other part of the city and missing the time for chanting his japa. And I said that better chant his rounds at home after doing Mangalarti at home.
All right, let me hear your side of the debate.
I didn't mean this. I haven't mentioned him.
Okay.
Other devotees.
All right, I take his side. That he wasn't referring to you. This was Sanatana Goswami used to do this. He used to be a mediator in disputes. You know that? Prabhupada explains that in Vrindavan, he was so respected by the villagers. They would come to him. The husband and wife would have a quarrel. You know how it is. When the husband and wife has a quarrel, you know, it's just like, it goes on and on, you know. There's no end to it. It's hard to end a husband and wife quarrel. It's really difficult to end it. But they would go to Sanatana Goswami, and the wife would give her side, and the husband would give his side, and he would say, and you were right, and you were wrong, and they would accept. So I judge that he's... you're wrong. He wasn't talking about you. I take his word. So, anyway, the bottom line is that even if others don't get up, even if the revolution doesn't really ever happen in the society, but if I'm the only one that gets up, guess what? I get Krishna. You know what Vishwanath Chakravarti has stated? The author of our Gavastakam prayers. He says, anyone who chants this prayer in the early morning hours of Brahma Muhurta, they will achieve the direct service of Krishna at the time of death in Vrindavan. So you get to have the direct service of Krishna. You directly in contact with Krishna and serving Him as soon as you leave your body, just by going to Mangalarti, to sing the Gavastakam during Brahma Muhurta every day. So is it worth it? They may call me a fanatic, they may call me a nut, but hey, he who laughs last, laughs best.
Is it to obey the instruction of the spiritual master, is that fanaticism?
No, but I'll give you an example. When I was a kid, I grew up in a house, you know, it wasn't a Vaishnava house, it wasn't a Brahmin house. So we would take a bath once a week on Sunday for going to church. My dad, though, he took a shower every day, and I was thinking, what a fanatic he is! Every day a shower? What? I used to laugh in my mind. I would laugh at what a fanatic he is. Every day I could hear the shower. Boy, he's in there doing it again. What a fanatic. What a nut, you know. Every day taking a shower, you know. But it just shows you, you know. See? Now we wouldn't think of, you know, going for a whole week to take our bath. It's so moochy. You feel bad, you know. So, just like I was thinking my dad was a fanatic, people may think that Sankarshan Das Adhikari is a fanatic for, you know, getting up at Mangalarti, or getting up at 4 in the morning and latest is 4. I try to get before that. Today we got up at 3. Get those rounds done early, early, when there's nothing else to do except chant. That's one of the secrets of japa, good japa. So, but now it's clear that you know, my dad wasn't a fanatic by taking a shower every day. That's just human life means bathing every day, every morning taking bath. That is human life. See, animal life, and actually the animals, many of them they bathe also. But human life means bathing every morning, and it also means rising early in the morning. By 4 a.m. That's human life. So anyway, is there any questions?
I have a question.
Okay.
When you mentioned about, again you mentioned that Radha Krishna duties are strict. One should not have Radha Krishna. When we can have Varnitai. Prabhupada also said we can have Varnitai. But nowadays we are seeing in the temple also, because Varnitai is lenient, so even the temples are becoming a standard.
The standard of the temple is going to, they're bathing Gornitai once a week, or so many concoctions, they're dressing him in the evening. I mean, so many concoctions going on in deity worship in the temples.
Well, I do not know how much Prabhupada mentioned about leniency. Was that with the initiated devotees?
What is it?
Was that with the initiated devotees, leniency for Gurnitais, or it was for the karmis?
No, leniency doesn't mean that anything goes. That you can, you know, you do. Leniency doesn't mean that anything, you can do anything and everything. A slight leniency. One should worship Gurnitai to the highest possible standard. Especially in the temple. And even in the home, one should not think of, the deities are there. One should think, I have to rise every morning. The deities are there waiting to be fed. They're waiting for their Mangal Arti. One should think like that. Gornitai, whoever the deity is, then one should think, Gornitai are waiting for their Mangal Arti. And they'll be unhappy if they don't get their Mangal Arti. I mean, we should think that way.
Because many times you see that when the householders keeping the deities, I do not know how much they worship, but they make the offering only when they are needing to eat.
No, deities, that's why I recommend that they just keep photographs. Mm-hmm. If my disciples want to get deity, they have to be really on a high level before they can have deity. Whether to have photographs, not willing to give standard regulated offerings to the deities, treat them as deities, then it's better to have photographs. Some who already had the deity, I say, well, whatever, just like one disciple had Radha Krishna. So I don't tell her to stop worshipping them. Whatever, just, but anyone new who hasn't gotten deity, I don't encourage them. Better to have photographs. I mean, I know how it was when Prabhupada was here. In Dallas, the devotees wanted to have, this was the Gurukula, the big Gurukula for the whole society. It was a big major temple. Devotees wanted Radha Krishna. Prabhupada said, no. You know what our deity worship was? It was a painting of the Panchatattva. That was our altar. All we had was a painting of the Panchatattva. And Baba did not let us have deities. He wanted to see that a certain very strict standard of 7 Brahmins, 7 full-time Brahmins available to serve the deity. He made us wait. And then finally, when he saw the standard was good, then he personally arranged for Radha Kala Chanji to come to Dallas. But I remember he wouldn't let, he would not allow deities to come. So in our society, we had too much is like a fad, having deity.
It's just, I think, that the gift shop, they bring the deities and everybody buys.
Huh?
Gift shop has the deities in there.
Come again?
Gift shops.
Yeah, and the gift shops, it's a good business, and so everyone buys them. But I've seen one temple in Mexico where the standard was so low that they didn't want me to come to the class, the temple, to give Bhagavatam class, because that meant they had to get up. They asked me, don't come to the temple. They didn't want to have a morning program at all. They had deities.
They had
many sets of deities, and then one sannyasi, who was not very properly fixed up, he brought another set of deities to add to the altar, another set. So, oh yes, I have a wonderful thing, I'm going to bring another set of deities. Bring another set of deities to put on the altar. Oh, Maharaj brought another set of deities, how wonderful. But they don't even get up. They just sleep. No morning program at all. And they have a whole altar full of many, many sets of deities. So this is called seva aparad. If one has deities, but one doesn't worship them, then you get seva aparad. There's nama aparad and seva aparad. So, you know, we have many, many problems in our society. They're just bathing the deities once a week. We were in a temple in Germany. Once a week they bathe in Gornitam. That is not the standard. Standard is every day bathing in Gornitam. Every day dressing.
That's in the temple once a
in
week.
In the temple. In the temple, in ISKCON temple, any deity, they should bathe and dress every day, every morning. That's the standard. Every morning the deities must be bathed and dressed. Every deity. That's the standard. The Prabhupada standard. So,
there's a new standard coming in the temples.
Huh?
There's a new standard coming in the temples now.
Yeah, I know. I've seen. It will kill us.
Dressing the deities in the night.
Yeah, dressing the deities at night. It's like, when you get up in the morning, do you wear your clothes from the previous day?
No.
You sleep in your clothes from the previous day, and you get up in them, and you wear them all day. And at night, before you go to bed, you put on a new set of clothes. See, that's the standard in one temple.
Not one temple.
I don't want to start.
I have a couple of them.
Yeah, that's the standard. That's the deity in the evening. It's completely it's impersonalism. It's impersonalism. You're not treating Krishna as a person. You're treating him as some machine, like a Coca-Cola machine. You put in your euro and you get out your Coca-Cola. Treating him like a Coke machine. I put in my euro and I get out my Coca-Cola. This is my deity. I use him in the best way that he facilitates me. My daily schedule. The deity has to be my servant.
That's okay. If one has to go to work, they can set up their schedule and then they do it according to their means. They do it like someone has to go to work, morning schedule, evening schedule, 2 hours a day. They can do that.
Yeah, that's all right. But I'm saying in a temple, when devotees could bathe and dress the deities every morning and they don't do it, they do it only once a week or they do it just in the evening, this is really, really offensive. In a temple, we have devotees who are available all day to do the service. They don't have to go to work. Their household, there's always some leniency because of the external requirements. That's understood. But that is a concession, but we should not unnecessarily take advantage of concessions. That's the point. We should only utilize the concession insofar as is absolutely necessary to keep body and soul together. I mean, I have to keep my job, you know, obviously. So one should do it according to what is necessary, but not beyond that. The The point is that devotees are actually becoming lax, not because of necessity, but just out of the sense gratificatory mentality. That's the problem. Not out of necessity. It is absolutely impossible to, you know, dress, bathe and dress the deities in the morning. It's not. They're being lazy and they're neglecting the deities. Yes.
I want to ask Maharaj, I have one little doubt. It's connected with the question from yesterday. When you say, like, those who worship Krishna are devotees, I know there are demons, and somehow some guests are a little disturbed from this. You know, like, they approach me, like, they say, how we are like demons now. They are coming to temple, but they are not devotees. You know, and...
No, you tell them you're the, because you're coming to temple, you're also a devotee.
Isn't that the point was made that everybody is devotee? That was but I think he
no,
didn't hear.
No, I said that actually everyone is a devotee. I also stated that.
But that is
no. If things I'm saying are people are getting a wrong impression, that's good. You told me. It's a matter of explaining in the proper way that they understand. Actually, we're all devotees, but we're all demons also. We're all covered by demoniac mentality. That's why we're in this material existence right now. That's it. We're all, each one of us is actually a devotee. But we become covered by a demoniac tendency to lord it over and try to enjoy the energy of God. Now, we have to be very, very careful. The new people are coming and explaining it to them in such a way that they're attracted and they understand it. At the same time, we have to present the philosophy as it is. So were they angry or were they confused or what was it?
Disturbed.
They were confused or they were angry?
Disturbed.
Disturbed more.
Disturbed.
Yes.
They were angry. Yeah.
I think one was a little angry. That one who asked the question, you remember?
Huh?
Who is demon? One asked the question, who is demon?
Ah.
You remember?
And I said, we're all demons.
No.
Huh?
No,
we're all devotees.
Said, we are all devotees, but some are awakened and some are covered.
Yeah.
So those who are covered, they are demons.
So was he pacified?
He don't want to communicate with me.
Huh?
He don't want to communicate with me.
He didn't want to communicate.
Has he been coming regularly?
Only short of the night stretch. I think a few times.
I'm going to explain to you what he is. This is the Bhagavad Gita also says that anyone who does not take Krishna consciousness are demons.
See, this is the real challenge because... You know, how to present, we have to present the philosophy as it is, but at the same time, we have to make it palatable.
Yes.
That's the thing.
It was palatable, but I do not know how that person, I think the first part he didn't understand.
You see, when you're dealing with a whole room full of people on all on different levels, that's the challenge of being a preacher.
Yes.
How do you make it attractive, but at the same time, it has to have some potency? Because, you know, all you do is, I mean, I could make it very attractive and say, oh, you all are so wonderful, you're so beautiful, you glorify you, see. I could just flatter everyone, they think, oh, this, what a great preacher, you know, he told me that I'm God. he must be a very realized guru, because he sees that I'm God. So this is the great challenge. This is Prabhupada's expertise. He could be very heavy and say things as exactly as they are and tell the truth, and people would go, wow, this is great. That was Prabhupada's expertise. So we have to try to develop that ability that Prabhupada had by developing our own internal purity and by being very, very conscious and considerate of time, place, and circumstance. So I do hope that I didn't blow him away.
He will back.
Huh?
He will back.
He will?
He will back.
He will come back.
He'll come back.
No, I just want to I was thinking in general about when we preach, like how to approach.
Well, see, I've, I've seen some devotees go so far that they say in ISKCON, they go so far, they say, well, you know, actually it's wrong to use the word karmi. You should never say the word karmi. Because actually everyone's a devotee. We should never say the karmis and the devotees. That's wrong. I mean, I've heard one temple leader actually say we shouldn't use the word karmi anymore. That means Prabhupada is wrong. You see? We have to change the philosophy now that everyone is a devotee. There's no karmis in the world, and the whole world is pure devotee. How can we? You have to. There has to be a proper balance. We have to act. We have to attract them. At the same time, we have to present the philosophy as it is. Just like a doctor, he's giving you bitter medicine, but you take it because you trust the doctor. You know he's trying to help you. And you know that he's going to make it as palatable as possible also.
But
so,
I have to say something.
Okay.
You mentioned about Srila Prabhupada, but also Prabhupada like mentions Krishna. So Krishna so many times in Bhagavad Gita that one man was disturbed that this Swami is only mentioning Krishna, 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 Krishna. And he was disturbed about that because Bhagavad Gita is mentioning that Krishna said this, Krishna said that. Prabhupada is like that. So they were disturbed by Prabhupada presenting also. So sometimes there are people who will be disturbed.
Yeah, they even find fault with Prabhupada. Because he'll take the word Bhagavan and translate it as Krishna. He'll take all the different words and you always say Krishna, 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 Krishna. Prabhupada, you'll see in his translations, he'll emphasize the word Krishna. He puts that word forward and on purpose. You see.
For me, this
and some will say, well, he's not giving us accurate translations, you know. But actually, the word Krishna is an accurate translation for the word Bhagavan. That's the thing.
This reminds me of the realization that, like the thief, sees the policeman, he runs away. Yeah, even though the police may not be after him.
Yeah.
So the person's mind, he may be at him, and that's why his mind got disturbed, because although hearing that everybody is a devotee, but those who are covered, they are demons. So
he actually knows that he's a demon, and he doesn't want to be exposed. That's what it really is. He really knows that he's... it's like everyone's happy to see the police, except those who break the law. Those who break the law, they don't like the police. You see. But those who are law-abiding, they're happy. The police are protecting me from the criminals. So one who knows that actually he's a demon, he's very disturbed when he hears the word demon used, because he's trying to hide his demonic activity. So... yeah, it's an interesting challenge being a preacher, because we want to attract them, at the same time we want to purify them. Because if we just attract you and we don't purify you, then we're cheating. So it's preaching is a real learn. Just like the parent, they raise the child but they never discipline the child, and then they spoil the child. So what, our driver is coming at 9, I heard. It's an hour from now. Time
pack.
To packing and all that. Okay. Alright, we'll stop here. We thank you very, very much for coming today. You're all wonderful devotees. You're not demons. You're wonderful, wonderful devotees.
We are free of lust.
You're glorious, exalted Vaishnavas.
We are free from lust, anger, greed, and temper.
Great souls, we bow down at your feet and worship you, you great souls. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Sarsha Prabhu Ki Jai.